This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
Welcome to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us as Deb talks with her guests, experts in their fields, as they share real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. We are still talking about LinkedIn. I love this month. It is so much fun because I love LinkedIn. I think it is the platform for any business professional. Absolutely, positively, they must be there. And if we haven't convinced you of that by the end of this month, well, I'm not doing my job. What's even more fun about this, I'm recording this on Valentine's Day. I'm talking with someone whose last name is Darling. Isn't that sweet? I know, isn't that cute? So please join me in welcoming Jennifer Darling to our program today. Welcome, Jennifer.
Yay! Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes, to you also. I need like sound effects that go, wah. I do have one sound effect.
Oh, is that a cash register?
It's just a button. It's a ka-ching button. Because it's a ka-ching. So, yeah. So every once in a while, I get my ka-ching button in there. All right. Well, let me tell people about you, and then we will jump into this. So Jennifer Darling has been involved in advertising sales and sales management her entire professional career. She went from corporate sales manager at media giants Hearst Television and Comcast to building her own successful business as a professional speaker and consultant. LinkedIn has been a significant factor in her success. She's had over 10,000 views of her LinkedIn articles, including one article that generated over 6,500 views worldwide. She's had thousands of views of her LinkedIn videos and generated over 10,000 views of shared updates, all with the power of the free version of LinkedIn. So again, Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you, Deb.
Well, tell us a little bit. I love the fact that you talked about the fact that you've been in sales your entire professional career. And most people go, ew, sales. And of course, everybody's in sales. Especially if you are a small business owner or an entrepreneur. But why did you decide that this really was your passion?
Well, it was interesting. I graduated from college with a double major, and television production was one major, and advertising was the second major. Ooh. And I had a friend, it was actually a referral, a friend that we worked on a project together, and he called me and asked if I wanted to interview for a TV sales job. So I was thinking I was actually going to go start creating commercials for businesses. Well, when he called, I had all these friends sending out thousands of resumes trying to get jobs, and he called, I went and interviewed and was offered the job the next day, and was in sales, right? That was as quick as it was. Now what I know is this was in northern Michigan in Cadillac. It was freezing cold, and I think they would take anyone with a pulse, but that was my free, I didn't have to send out 1,000 resumes. So I started in sales there in northern Michigan, and I spent my time driving around making cold calls. Literally every day I got up out of bed to drive around, and my territories were hours away. So I'd have to drive in the snow. It sounds like the story my grandmother used to tell me. I had to walk uphill both ways in the snow to get to school, but she grew up in like Missouri, so I don't even know if it snows there. True. I did have to drive for like an hour to get to my cold calls. So I was making cold calls and getting new business. Mostly, I think, because of my personality and then the fact that I knew something about advertising because I had spent 4 years studying it. And I really grew to love sales. I wouldn't say I started out thinking, oh, I want to be a salesperson. And some people do. Most people don't. And most people absolutely dread cold calls.
Oh, yeah. Raising hand.
Yeah. They dread it. But what happened in the 90s when I started in sales was that making cold calls and going to Chamber of Commerce after hour events or lunches or breakfast, but I chose the after hour events.
Mm-hmm. They're more fun.
That was the way that you were meeting people and building influence. Mm-hmm. And so when today I'm so much more excited about making sales, because I think with the power of LinkedIn, we're building influence far before we ever meet with someone or shake their hands or talk to them. Mm-hmm. They are seeking us out and looking at our profiles and what you put there and the way you position yourself and the value you give. Now build influence. And that to me is a much better way to start sales conversations than a cold call, which is an interruption in the middle of somebody's already very busy day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so you work with people to really help them optimize their LinkedIn profile so that when someone looks at it, even if they don't, you know, don't really know that person, they're just looking at it to get their first glimpse of what they're like. And so the one thing I didn't mention, you've written a book. You've written this great book. It's called Increase Your Leads with LinkedIn, 52 Tips for Sales Success. And, you know, it's a great book, very fast read, took me less than an hour. Quick little tips, but it really is, you know, it's not that difficult. And I think that's one of the things that people think is, oh my gosh, it's going to take me so much time and I'm so busy already. You know, and of course, when you do LinkedIn the correct way, it's going to be working for you. Mm-hmm. Because you set it up that you've optimized it and it really is going to be doing the work for you. And so that's an awful lot of what we want to talk about. But I love this statement that you had in your book. LinkedIn is the Google for business professionals. Mm-hmm. And it is. I mean, you know, when we think about it, when we're either meeting someone or we're going to a conference, maybe they're the head, you know, the speaker, all these various things. Many of us go to LinkedIn and look for them there. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about setting your profile up so that when they find you that way, and you know, of course, initially it's making sure they find you that way, that is what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And what I tell people is there are really two parts to LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Part one is creating a profile that's all about, it's customer centric. If I'm your ideal customer and I go to your profile, I want to read about what's in it for me. I don't want to read that you're award-winning author or whatever. That's about you. So tell me how you can help me. Mm-hmm. And once you build that profile, that does take time. It takes time to position yourself. We're talking about marketing you and your brand or your personal or professional brand, and that takes time. But once you have that dialed in, and I would say if you struggle with that, get some professional help, because there are people who can help make that easier. And I think it's really hard to write about ourselves. Like I remember writing a bio for myself for an introduction to speaking. And I was speaking at I went to do some speaking for my high school, and they're reading my bio and I'm thinking, who is that person? Because it's really hard to write about ourselves and write about it in a customer focused, customer centric way. So maybe get some help with that. But once you have that profile set up in the right way, then it's just some tweaks and updates. And then the second part is focusing your time and energy on building relationships, making connections, and giving value. And I think that what happens is people just generally have a dislike for sales. So small businesses, entrepreneurs, but you have to have sales to drive your company. So to continue doing what you love, you have to have sales. So when people tell me they don't have enough time for LinkedIn, what I say is essentially you're telling me you don't have enough time for prospecting and building relationships with potential new business clients.
Right.
So spend the time in LinkedIn, because I think the most valuable time you can spend in your business is focusing on growing your business and often with sales and the revenue side of it. And it's easier sometimes for small business owners and entrepreneurs and even sales professional salespeople. Mm-hmm. It's even easier for them to get caught up in the what people say, working in your business, not on your business or something. So, you know, the website things that need to happen or the paperwork or whatever else is going on. When if you shift your focus to what are the sales activities or the sales and marketing activities I need to do every day to build my business, and then that other stuff fills the rest of your time, you'll have no problem at all finding a way to be very successful on LinkedIn.
Right. You know, and one of the things that occurred to me as we were talking is, you know, it's a way to, you said the word, focus. You know, we all go to networking meetings. We go to talk to the same people we talk to every single time. And, you know, and we chit chat about the weather, about sports, about politics, you know, and we might talk a little business. And in-person networking is good because it helps build that likability, that trust factor, all of those various things. But we do get caught up in not talking about business when we're there. But when we're on LinkedIn and we're reading somebody's profile, we're looking at what they've posted, you know, what have they written for, you know, an article, things like that. That's focused. That's laser focused. And I'm not looking at the pictures of their kids or their cats. It was funny. I saw somebody on LinkedIn today that did a post where they said they had two graphics, and it one was the Facebook logo and the other was the LinkedIn logo, and they had the not equal sign in between them. So, you know, part of me thought, now, wait a minute. We still want to get our personality across on LinkedIn, you know, and that's one thing that I see many people stumble with is they think, well, I have to be so professional on LinkedIn. And I mention that specifically because in your professional headline, you say dog mom. And I love that because you and I were chatting off the air about the fact that we have dogs, you have dogs. That's just a little bit of your personality. Now, on Facebook, you might post pictures of your dogs. Probably not going to do that on LinkedIn, but it's just a little bit of a way to get your personality out there.
I've been thinking about this recently, and I think you're going to see a little bit more of personality coming out on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a little bit more of the personal stuff coming out on LinkedIn. Not as much as the, I call it drama on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And the reason I call it that is partially it's my own thing that I've made up because I have a lot of nieces. I'm very close with them. And I find myself getting distracted by, you know, one niece has boyfriend this and the next week she has another boyfriend. And then I always tell my friends, I feel like I have to go stalk the boyfriends and find out who their families are. Next thing you know, I spent 30 minutes stalking my niece's boyfriend and then she has a new one the next week. That's such a waste of time, right? So then I have to put my antenna up and I have to say, all right, if I go to LinkedIn, I'm going to be spending my time, investing my time in business news and business information that's pertinent to me. But I also think that we're going to start to see a little bit more of personal sides from people over on LinkedIn to balance it out because we do want to know people as well. We just don't want all that drama.
Yeah, it's funny. One of my other guests that I interviewed for the program, in his LinkedIn profile, he's British. And in his LinkedIn profile, he says he went to Cambridge. And you think, whoa. And he says, the kindergarten. But you can see it from there. And it really was. It was like, oh, you know, that captures your attention. And it lets you know, okay, this guy's going to be fun.
Yeah. And I have a client, we just finished her profile a couple weeks ago. And she speaks on the business of performance communication. And she works with tons of government agencies, but yet she has a big love for pets and she works with a lot of rescue animals. And we just added one or two little sentences at the end of her profile that says, I really love animals or something like this. And anybody who has a pet industry, I would love to talk to your audience as well. So her whole focus is the government business, but we added that tiny little bit of a personality and an additional industry she might be interested in, but she doesn't want to go all that way and totally switch everything over or else she will miss the boat with her 90% of the business that she's working on now. But we just added that one little element in there. Can I speak to networking for a second
here?
Because
definitely.
I think that something you said is really important, and that is that in-person networking, I still think, is extremely important to business building.
Yep.
So I look at business building for me in multiple, not the platforms, but the vehicles I use for business building are referrals, networking, social media, specifically LinkedIn and speaking. Mm-hmm. That's how I market my business. In-person networking is old school, but it is still as great as it could get mm-hmm. for building your business. So what I recommend people do is power that up by backing it up with LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. You're collecting all these business cards. So go back to your desk in the night of or next day or what have you. Take those business cards and invite those people to connect on LinkedIn. And then what you do is you write a customized message saying anything you can remember talking about, mm-hmm. but adding in there where you met them. Right. So I meet a lot of people.
They might not remember. I mean, we hate to admit that, but they might.
Well, not only that, but I do this all the time. I just do this as standard operating procedures. So let's just say I went to Canadian Association of Professional Speakers conference in December of 2017. I meet everybody. I come back. I write them all notes and let them know that's where we met. Well, two things happen. Thing one that happens is I have noticed that when I do this, I automatically get a boost in their news feeds mm-hmm. for a couple of weeks after we've connected. Mm-hmm. So if I'm strategic in my content that I'm putting on LinkedIn, I will write content specifically for that group of people that I've met. Ooh. So they're getting a boost. Right? They're getting a boost of what I have to offer without being salesy, but I'm giving them value in that way. They think I'm everywhere. Mm-hmm. The second thing that happens is now if I go back to that event again or that group again, I can go through my messages and I can type in Canadian Association of Professional Speakers, or in this case, it's called CAPS. Mm-hmm. And I get a whole list of who I sent that message to. And now I'm going again and I can go look at their profile, message them again. Hey, it was great to meet you last mm-hmm. year. Love to meet up for coffee this year. And you do that. And now you go to the event the second time and you have a boatload of new friends or old friends, mm-hmm. Get to hook up with again, but it's a really great way to keep people engaged from those networking events. Really great way to power up your networking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is so important, as you said, to do it right away. How many of us, and I'm, raising my hand, have the stack of business cards mm-hmm. from, whenever. And I even have a book somewhere of business cards that I put stuff in. I mean, all these various things.
Right.
Those people probably don't even, still do business in that industry, that just needs to go into the trash. But, when we connect with them right away, then we stay top of mind with them. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you meet somebody in person, you're not going to wait for, you're exploring dating them. You're not going to wait a month, 2 months, whatever, and then call and say, hey, would you like to go out? Because they're going to, now, who are you? Right. And so it's important that we follow up as soon as possible to really start building that relationship.
Right. I'll tell you, I have 9 business cards in my hand right now of mm-hmm. a networking function I went to a couple of weeks ago. I did this system. Mm-hmm. I messaged every person. And out of those 9 people, 2 people want to work with me. Mm-hmm. Right. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's over 20%. Mm-hmm. Normally, you used to, I would come and I would kind of laugh. I put them in little plastic baggies. Mm-hmm. And if I'm smart, I'll even put a note in there.
On the bag. Yeah.
Right where I was. And then mm-hmm. eventually I had all these plastic baggies of business cards and I have no clue where they came from. Mm-hmm. And here's the secret, Deb. I just threw out my Rolodex.
I know.
Now, depending on how old you are, you won't even know what that is.
I know. Like I said, the boxes of business mm-hmm. cards. I mean, all those various things. We still need some of them. Because they might be a professional, service that we're using, like a house painter or something like that. But for business reasons, once I've connected with them on LinkedIn, then I probably shouldn't need their business card anymore.
Well, and if you keep it, fine. That's no big deal. But at least you have started to grow the relationship to the next step instead of just having that business card in a box somewhere. Mm-hmm. We've created a second impression because we've sent a customized note and then they're going to accept. And then we're going to create more impressions. Mm-hmm. What I've been measuring in sales is that less than 1% of people cold leads are in the market to buy at any one time.
Right.
So if you go out networking, less than 1%, most professional sales teams will tell you it's even less. It's like 0.01%. Mm-hmm. So you might find somebody interested in buying now. And I certainly just gave you an example of two people who were. Mm-hmm. But it's more likely that you are going to reach the other 99% of people not ready to buy now, and you need to create that top of mind awareness mm-hmm. and have them notice you as the resource when they are ready to buy.
Right. And that's all about being consistent with your messaging.
Right.
Being active on whatever social media platform you're on. Obviously we're talking about LinkedIn, but it is about posting fairly often. So that brings me to one of my questions, because you talk about this in your book. One of the things that many people say, I don't know what to post.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you tell people who really are just thinking, because they're thinking, well, I can post the cat video, the pictures of my kids, the pictures of my mm-hmm. dogs on Facebook, but what do I post in a professional manner? What am I supposed to post on LinkedIn?
The easiest way for me to describe that for people, and almost everyone has this challenge, I would say 9 out of 10 people don't know what to post on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I suggest you take a blank piece of paper and a pen, or if you're a computer person, put it in your computer and sit down for a few minutes and think of all of the problems and challenges and questions that your prospects or customers are coming to you with.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start going, you'll come up with lots of problems, because people have problems, and that's right. What they're coming to you is, I have this mm-hmm. issue or this problem. And then what I want you to think about is, how do you solve that problem?
Mm-hmm.
And then write about that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 10 problems that clients come to you about or prospects come to you about, then you have 10 different pieces of content. Right. And when I say pieces of content or ideas, you have 10 ideas of what to write about. Now you can take that one idea and you can write a short blog. Mm-hmm. It should be at least 350 words. My suggestion is about 500 words. And don't make it too long, because on social media, people are skimmers. If it's right. too long, make it two parts.
Mm-hmm.
Write a blog. Take that same idea and share an update. Take that same idea and make a video. Take that one idea and resource it out in many different ways. And people say, well, then am I not saying the same way, the same thing three different ways? Well, yeah, you are, but people learn differently.
Right.
I worked for TV news. And if you go on a TV news website, you'll see their stories are in two formats. They're mm-hmm. in a video on the top and they're written on the bottom, because mm-hmm. some people want to watch video and some people want to do writing. So don't worry about that. The right people are going to see it. And certainly not everyone is going to see everything that you
right.
post.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing that many people tend to forget is, they say, well, I don't want to say the same thing over and over again because I'll bore people. Well, the people we're connected with aren't seeing every post, unless mm-hmm. they specifically go to your profile and look up your posts. And so even at that, figure out just different way. Maybe you use a different image, a different, the initial sentence, all these various things. You don't have to be posting the same thing word for word.
Right. And you can take your blog and you could grab a section out of the middle of your blog and mm-hmm. repost it as a shared update. That's awesome too. The other things that I would recommend, so creating your own content. That's the hardest one for people, is creating their own content. And I get it. The other thing that people don't like about creating their own content is they're afraid that people are going to give them negative feedback mm-hmm. because there are trolls out there who will do that. And right. you have to just ignore those people, because if you're worried about those people, we'll never get anything out there.
Mm-hmm.
I had a YouTube video that somebody commented on, and she said annoying. And my initial reaction was, and if you could see me now, you could see me putting up my fingers like claws. Like a cat, I'm gonna get you. And I thought about it for a few minutes and I thought, oh my God, somebody's actually watching my YouTube videos. This is great.
Right, yeah.
So just change the perspective. Don't worry about those people because there are many more people who need what it is that you specifically have to say to them from your experience and your lens. Right. Don't worry about somebody else already said this. It doesn't matter because they didn't have the same experience that you had. And then the other thing I think is great to do is find content that's relevant to your audience. It doesn't even have to be about your product or service. Mm-hmm. So for example, I was out speaking to a group of entrepreneurs one day and I brought up a texting platform that I used and they all wanted to know, what is the texting platform you use? Does it work? So even though that's not my product or service, that's a value to that group of people. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I can tell them about and give them specifics and teach them how to learn about this texting platform. Give them value like that. Find value that other people have to share. Mm-hmm. We look at magazines and periodicals. So I love our Sacramento Business Journal. I live in Sacramento. Love the Business Journal. I love to read Harvard Business Review. So if I'm short on coming up with ideas for something, I'll go to the Business Journal or Harvard Business Review. And I'll search for an article on sales or on marketing or on leadership, and I'll find a good article and I'll post that article.
Right. Well, and there probably is a publication for your industry, whatever your industry is, you know, and or whatever your niche is. So, you know, say you're do marketing for a certain industry. Well, then you've got the industry and you've got marketing that you can be posting about.
Yes, exactly. Perfect.
You know, and yeah, it's training yourself to go and find these things. And
right.
You know, it's a matter of going to LinkedIn and actually doing it. And it's so funny. I started this thing today and we'll see, you know, best laid plans, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, normally I eat breakfast at my desk. You know, so I get up, I go make my coffee, I make my breakfast. I come because I home office. And so I'm sitting here at my desk. And the first thing I do is I go, well, you know, I've already checked my email. I've done all those things. But then as I'm eating, I go to Facebook. So today I went to LinkedIn instead. Mm. You know, and so that was maybe 15 minutes that I spent on LinkedIn where I congratulated somebody on a new job, somebody else had a birthday, and I personalized it. You know, I didn't just do the happy birthday that, you know, LinkedIn lets you do. I shared a couple articles, I commented on a couple, and I made some new connections. Mm-hmm. That was my LinkedIn maybe for the day.
Yeah.
You know, and I did that instead of Facebook. And I think that's something that maybe a lot of us need to think about is how much time are we spending where, and granted, you know, Facebook is, it has its purpose, but I think we do tend to spend a lot of time there that's not beneficial time. So
right.
What if we were using it, say, you know, like I said, 15 minutes on LinkedIn as opposed to 15 minutes on Facebook. Then I went and looked at Facebook, you know, and all those various things. But my initial thing was, let's do LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I'm not poo-pooing Facebook. I'm not trying to.
Right. Stay. Yeah, that's where we learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and I'm totally agreeing with you here. And I just think that it goes back to what you just said, which is just be aware of how you're spending your time.
Right.
And if you think that if you are a person who is saying, I don't have enough time for this, then that I challenge you to think about and be aware of where you're spending your time. Because if you are over on Facebook and you're chasing your niece's boyfriends, or whatever else, you get what I'm saying, then you need to think, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't spend as much time there if that's not serving me. Now, if your market is fully on Facebook, then that's where you need to market your business or Instagram or whatever.
Right.
But what I know is that you won't find as many C-suite people, CEOs, CMOs, CFOs hanging out on LinkedIn because they just don't want all their personal stuff out there. Now, some will, you know, some do, but they're more going to be over on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and it's one of the things that happens to me when I'm on Facebook is squirrel. You know, I start clicking the videos. I'm looking here, I'm looking there. And so, you know, I can do that too on LinkedIn. However, it's an industry article or something like that. One of the things I discovered this morning was an article about my husband's company that was talking about its financial, he works for a very large company, but it was talking about, you know, its long range forecast. And so I go to the link, I send it to him. I said, hey, did you know this? But, you know, it could have just as easily been an article that would benefit a client or a potential client. You know, did you know this? Did you know that? And so being sidetracked on LinkedIn is very different than being sidetracked on Facebook.
Yes. Being sidetracked on LinkedIn is very different than Facebook. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And that squirrel moment, at least if it's a squirrel you're chasing, you're going to get more business news and business information and relevant content to you, because that's how LinkedIn sets it up for you, is giving you relevant content. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, one of the things that I think people are finally starting to figure out is they have to use LinkedIn for personal branding. You know, it's all about what people see about you, not your business, not any of those various things. So what are the top three things that people need to be doing to build their personal brands on LinkedIn?
Well, I think what people need to do is, first, we talked about it a little bit already, but you need to have that profile done. Mm-hmm. I was in a group of colleagues a couple weeks ago, and we were having a conversation, and one woman said, do you know John Doe? I'm looking at doing some business with John Doe. Mm-hmm. And the other woman said, well, I went and looked at him on LinkedIn, and he didn't really have very much of a profile on LinkedIn, so I don't think he's legit.
Ooh.
Now, this was very, like, my ears went, you know, open, and wow, this is what people are doing now. So even when people don't have fully created profiles and they're not using LinkedIn probably to the way we're using it, people are still going to LinkedIn to search you out and see if you are legit.
Right.
Where else are they going to do that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's no place else they're going to do that. Mm-hmm.
And they're looking, you know, is it current? You know, they might not care if you're posting, you know, that's, you know,
yes.
But is the information there current? You know,
that's right.
I went to somebody's the other day and they were like three jobs before, you know, it had been that long since they had updated it.
That's right. Is it current? Is it relevant? Is it speaking to your audience? The people that you want to attract, is it complete, or do you just have one sentence in your summary and it doesn't look complete to people? People know what complete looks like now, right?
Right.
So and then what happens then if you go and you start to engage with people and connect with people and they're coming back to your incomplete profile, the first impression you're giving them is that profile. So is it attracting them or retracting?
Right.
It's retracting them. So number one thing is get some help, or if you're good about marketing copy yourself, get that profile complete. Make sure it gets to all-star status, but that's kind of like just checking the boxes on LinkedIn. Really fill it with good stuff. And you don't have to fill out every experience that you've ever done with great detail, but make sure you fill out the most relevant ones to what you're doing now, and at least one or two deep, maybe three, but you don't need to go back and do this for the 15 jobs that you had. Nobody's looking back that far.
Right. Now, if something back there is pertinent, then you obviously need to include it. But you know, you don't need to have every single thing there. I love the people whose profiles go back to high school. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
And then my thought is, have you not done anything else? And for some people, it is kind of difficult. You know, I mentioned my husband. He's only ever worked for one company. Now, it's gone through several, you know, iterations and changes and mergers and all these various things. And he's had different positions in the company. So, you know, he could use those to fill things out. But, you know, at first blush, he would say, oh, I've only, you know, if he were filling out the experience section, he might think, or, you know, whoever, I've only ever had this one job. And and so then you're going to look at it and think, wait a minute. So that's where being able to say, okay, I had these different positions and listing them as separate jobs, things like
that. Right. Which I love that LinkedIn allows you to do that now. So you can put in one company and have multiple different jobs under that company that show the progression of you moving up in that company if you've been with that company for 30 years. Yeah. The second thing I would say as well is that the top fold of your computer screen, it's called top fold, anything before you scroll down, that's the prime real estate that you have of people coming by your profile. And the pictures are super important. So your headshot is really important. It needs to be a clear headshot. People need to see your eyes. There's a reason that real estate agents all have their picture on their business cards. And that's because that's the biggest purchase you're ever going to make. And your face is the first thing that people see to start to build trust with you. So make sure you have that picture there. And then that banner picture, to me, that's like having a billboard on a busy freeway. Mm-hmm. All your best prospects are driving by. So are you just going to have a blank picture that says nothing? Or are you going to think of it more as having a marketing, a simple marketing message?
Right. I love yours. You have your email address and your phone number right there.
Yeah, it's so simple. I don't have a ton of information, but it says book me for speaking and here's my contact info and then a really beautiful logo. So, you know, it doesn't have to, you don't want it to be mucky with a bunch of stuff because you wouldn't drive by a billboard that they paid $10,000 or $20,000 for and have so much stuff on the billboard that nobody can read it. So clear, simple, a positioning statement's great if you have one, excellent. And then the other part, the third thing I would say to that above the fold part is that your professional headline. Your professional headline shows up every single time you make a post, you share an article or you make a post. And that's the line that most people are going to see. That's the one that's going to get the most impressions. So I see people often use their titles, and that's fine, especially if your title is a really important title. But if you're an account executive, say for example, millions of people are account executives. Right.
If they're going to shrug, you know, you don't want it there.
And so instead of having that is the message everybody sees most frequently, instead change that to how you help people, what you do, and make that be the thing that everybody's seeing all the time. So those are a couple different ways that you can up your personal brand. And then by providing, which we already talked about, providing content, giving value first. Jeffrey Gittimer is one of my sales mentors. I've read a lot of his books. I facilitate workshops for him. And he's taught me that you give value first. So you give it in content, but you give value and you establish your expertise that way. And you help a lot of people by giving them value. And that will build your brand more successfully than any other sales pitch would.
Right. Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about the summary section. And this was something that was one of those aha moments when I was reading your book, that the vast majority of people are looking at your LinkedIn profile on their smartphone. And so when they see your summary, they only see about 10 words.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they can do the read more, but they only see 10 words. So what do your first 10 words say?
Right.
You know, and we tell people really look at what your first three lines are. So that they're going to want to click more. But the whole 10 words thing, that really was like, oh, you know, I'm going to have to go look at mine and just see what it says. But yeah, so what are your first 10 words? Those are so important.
Yeah. And so a funny thing about writing a book on LinkedIn, and I knew this, is that as soon as you write something, something changes. So if you can actually see about 20 words now on the mobile app, but still, I still want you to focus on the first 10 words. And here's why. Go to your profile and put your cursor over those 10 words and read them. And you will see very clearly that likely they don't mean anything. They're non-meaning words. They don't mean anything to your customer. I would like to give you an example right now, but most of my clients, I've changed this. So I have, I only have examples of what, you know, what good looks like or great looks like, but have that be what's important. So for example, I have a client, she does professional speaking. I'm getting excited over here. She does professional speaking and she speaks on workplace violence and active shooting.
Oh, holy cow.
Exactly, right?
So if she says professional speaker, you're like, ugh. But if she talks about her subject.
Do your employees know what to do in the situation of an active shooter or in an active shooter situation.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. Right.
It's so powerful. Mm-hmm. Instead of, I'm an award-winning author, professional speaker, and consultant.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares. But do your employees know what to do in an active shooter situation?
Right.
Well, most business owners are going to say, no, mm-hmm. but I probably should think about it.
Right, right. Kind of a sad commentary on the state of the world, but it probably is something they need to be thinking about.
Exactly. And we're not trying to scare people here. In fact, if you read the rest of her summary, you'll see that we've taken something that is very, it's a very dark cloud, scary mm-hmm. subject, and we're giving people hope that right. they can do something about mm-hmm. it and prepared and feel empowered mm-hmm. by the information that she's sharing with them. So that's what I say is give them, you know, show them how you're going to, what their problem is, and then show them how you're going to help them with it.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and it's funny. This is a question that I've asked all my guests for this special series this month. First person or third person? And mm-hmm. I've written mine as third person.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back and forth on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the vast majority, I think it's best if it's first person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's just, it's obviously a personal preference. And it's so funny because I said something mm-hmm. to somebody about this the other day and they said third person shows somebody else wrote it for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But part of it is who you're trying to reach. But, you know, it's interesting how that is.
Well, I think, I don't know if this is true or not, Deb, but this is what I have noticed. The reason that people, and this might not apply to you, but a reason many people have a hard time writing in first person is because it's filled with I.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to
end up with that column that goes like, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, we don't want a profile that says mm-hmm. I. So you mm-hmm. really do need some help in making it first person, but mm-hmm. eliminating the I's and turning them into you statements.
Mm-hmm.
I do suggest the philosophy of first person. And I suggest this is that when you're writing your summary, I want you to think of who your perfect client is. And I want you to think as if you were writing an email to them.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
Right. And you're not going to do it third person.
Right.
Or it's just going to be a little weird.
Yeah, and third person doesn't bother me as mm-hmm. much. I mean, I definitely recommend people do it in first person, but I think that challenges what I just said with the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So third person is, it doesn't bother me as much. It's just that when I get on a profile and it's talking to me,
mm-hmm.
that business owner or person is talking directly to me,
mm-hmm.
then I'm more likely to, look. I'm like, they get me.
Right. Right. You know, it's just one of those interesting things that people, you know, and like I said, it's a personal preference.
I had another one the other day too, which was, I have one friend that says, don't fill up your summary with a lot of bullet points. And then I have another friend who says, make sure you put a lot of bullet points because people mm-hmm. are skimming. So I try to do a combination of mm-hmm. both, but mm-hmm. also you have to know your audience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if your audience is a high data, detail-oriented people mm-hmm. Person, then that person has a bigger, what would be the word? I'm forgetting the word. But
they're going to process it better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a bigger tolerance for mm-hmm. more content-heavy. They're looking for details. Mm-hmm. That's who they are.
Right.
So you need to think about who your audience is. They're probably not bullet point people.
Mm-hmm.
But a CEO, and if you look at a DISC scale might say somebody's in the driver's seat is probably looking for bullets because mm-hmm. they want to skim through it really right. quickly.
They're
don't
busy.
Have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you talk about that in your book, is having the various posts for your personality types. So it really comes down to you have to know who you're trying to reach.
That's right.
Like you said, if you are someone who is trying to reach people in an industry that is, say, you know, very technical, you better have a well-written profile with lots of numbers, mm-hmm. whether it's quantity or qualifying numbers, you know, all these various things. And, you know, and getting light and fluffy, that might not be what they want to see.
Right.
You know, we talked about personality. And so you really do have to know who is it that you're trying to reach? And then now there's going to be people from all types. You know, you've got this, the CEO who really wants the meat and potatoes, you know, and the next CEO wants the bullet points. But, you know, it's about having that combination, not only in your profile, but as you mentioned in your book, having it in your posts also.
Right. Having it in your posts and in your blogs is super important. Mm-hmm. And I have a master's degree. So for 18 months, I wrote papers that mm-hmm. are academic papers that have rules about right. how many paragraphs and sentences mm-hmm. and et cetera. And social media is just not that way. So mm-hmm. whenever I get into a blog and I see these big chunky paragraphs, and again, my audience isn't a highly analytical person. Mm-hmm. My clients was. But you have to be thinking about, mm-hmm. is your article easy to read? Like, is it easy on the eyes?
Right.
So is the content great?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if it is not easy on your eyes, they might not even read the content.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and that comes back to white space and yes. all of those various things. And so it's, you know, and again, it's knowing your audience. Because I might like to read big chunks of text at a time. Mm-hmm. But if my audience doesn't want to, then I'd better make sure I'm writing for what right. they want to see. And right. and that's, the same thing goes with video and all of those things. You know, mm-hmm. if you know that people are wanting more video, then you better have more video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if people need help with writing blogs, I do have a blog post on my LinkedIn page called Blogging for Business. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is go to my activity and you can find that blog mm-hmm. post that I wrote, and it'll give you some ideas and examples of how you can start your own blog and even what to write about and mm-hmm. even some additional ideas beyond what we talked about earlier about right. how to get more content.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Well, one of the things that I love about every time I talk with my guests, I learn something new. That's always such fun. And one of the things that just popped out at me that knocked me out of my chair this morning, almost literally, was this thing called Social Selling Index.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never heard of it, which I don't know if that's good or bad, that I had never heard of it. Now, it is more part of the sales navigator portion of LinkedIn. And you know, obviously, we're talking, you know, salespeople, but it is something that we, as users of LinkedIn, really need to know. So tell us what that is, and then we'll kind of walk through a little bit okay. more about that.
Yeah, you do not need Sales Navigator to use the Social Selling Index tool. Mm-hmm. You can use it for free. So the Social Selling Index, I really love this, and I learned about it from one of my advisors who taught me about LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Kurt Shavers, his name. And Kurt said,
We've had Kurt on before. We love Kurt.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you've met Kurt. So mm-hmm. Kurt told me about the Social Selling Index, and he was giving everybody a quiz on it. Well, as he taught me about it, I started to do more research on it, and I also started measuring and testing it with myself and my clients.
Mm-hmm.
The Social Selling Index, and you can find it on linkedin.com/sales/SSI, which stand mm-hmm. for Social Selling Index. And it is a four areas of LinkedIn that it measures your performance in those areas. And the higher the numbers you get, the more likely your profile is to be findable on both LinkedIn and also in Google, Yahoo, mm-hmm. and Bing on the search engines. So what I love about it is it gives you an opportunity to measure where you're at with LinkedIn. Now, it doesn't measure your branding or your marketing or your keywords or things mm-hmm. like that, which are equally as important, and you need to take a look at that. But it measures how you have your profile set up. It measures how engaged you are, and are you building connections? And it has these different components. And if you watch these components and you become more active, and I think even your 15 minutes a day that you talked about earlier, mm-hmm. even if you did the things that Deb suggested in 15 minutes a day, you'll see your Social Selling Index go up. Mm-hmm. And when it goes up, you are more searchable, and your profile is going to land in the suggestion box of prospects and referral partners.
Right. And it's kind of what the old clout used to do. You know, it showed you a little bit about that. And
oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so, you know, I looked at mine, and like you said, it's four things. So you're being rated on 25 points each. So it's mm-hmm. a maximum of 100. And so I'm happy to say that mine was 77 out of 100. Mm-hmm. I know. I was like, yay. I mean, I was just dreading. I'm thinking, oh dear, what's it going to come out at? And, you know, so the four categories, one is establish your professional brand. And I was 21 out of 25. So I'm doing pretty good there. Find the right people. This needs work. 15.4 out of 25. Engage with insights. 15 out of 25. Now here's a good one. Build relationships, 25 out of 25.
Yahoo! So I'll tell you, the top line and the bottom line are the easiest to improve.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is made up of two components, which is, do you have a minimum of 500 connections, and are you consistently growing your connections?
Right.
That? So there's this argument about...
So we better have 25 out of 25, right?
Right. And then the other part of that is the percentage of people accepting your connection request.
So you're not spamming people.
Right. That, and you know, you can, I recommend that you send a personal connection.
Oh yes. Always, always.
Right. And so if you're doing that, you're going to get your percentage up there and you can get that 25. The first one is all about your professional brand. And then the last three are all about connecting and engaging with people. Mm-hmm. So that first one is your profile complete. That's a part of that. Is your profile fully completed? Are you using multimedia? So do you have in your profile, not just in your shared updates, but in your profile, do you have videos and PDFs and pictures and other types of media just beyond writing the profile? Mm-hmm. Do you have recommendations? I call them testimonials. Do you have, are you getting recommendations from people on a consistent basis? Mm-hmm. And the last piece of that are you publishing articles?
Mm-hmm.
So when people aren't publishing articles, that will affect your social selling index. So mine just went down a couple because I was out floating around in the ocean on a cruise.
Vacations.
Right? It was terrible. And I got back and I'm like, oh, it's an 82. It went from an 87 to an 82. So what do I need to do? I need to publish another article.
Right.
And in a couple days, that'll go back up and it'll stay up and it'll make me happy and make LinkedIn happy for a little bit. But I think it's a fun tool to use. Is it the end all be all? No, but it's a fun tool to use. If you're under 60, you really should spend some time taking a look at it and taking a look at your LinkedIn profile, because we want you to have the best representation of your brand for prospects driving by. And we want you to be able to give them value so you're the person that they're thinking of first when they're ready to buy.
Right. Yeah. And now one of the things we've mentioned several times is you absolutely need to be found on LinkedIn. You know, it's not just that we've taken the business card and I've typed your name in. It's, you know, I'm going to go type keywords, all of these various things. So let's talk about searchability. You know, what do we need to do to make sure that people can find us if they don't know our name?
Well, I think a couple things you need to do is you need to make sure that you are planting some keywords into your summary, into your experience, and in your articles and shared updates that are going to attract the right people. And how many keywords? 5 to 10. You don't need 10 keywords in your summary, but you need to be using them throughout. So if you are a person who, this happens so often, and I think it's the best example I could give, is if you have a person that has two or three businesses and they're very different businesses. So I'm talking, maybe you have a marketing company and you have a heating and air company. And
right, because a lot of people have the side hustle going on.
Yeah. So what happens is you confuse the system. You have, it doesn't know where to put you. It doesn't know what the box to put you in. So I suggest figuring out what the thing is that you want to promote, what's the business you want to promote on LinkedIn, and really focusing on that, because you can see that people also viewed, and you can see who other, if they viewed your profile and they've looked at these other people's profiles. And if you are, if you have a couple marketing people and a couple HVAC people and a couple something else, then you can see that you are obviously, the system's getting confused. So people are going to have a hard time finding you because you've not categorized yourself in any one of those things.
Right.
So categorize yourself. Figure out what's the best thing for LinkedIn. You can build multiple company pages and you can have them in your experience. That's fine. But who's the audience on LinkedIn, and what's the best business that you have for that audience on LinkedIn?
Well, and you should only have one profile, you know, so don't think, I'm going to have, and it's funny, I had somebody come to me one time and he, during the day, it was kind of like, you know, he was, you know, Superman, his weekday, he sold insurance. His weekends, he was a landscaper. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, you're going to have two totally different things. You're going to do LinkedIn for your insurance business, mm-hmm. and you're going to do Facebook for your landscaping mm-hmm. business. Mm-hmm. And that had never occurred to him. You know, he was trying to do both on both. And as you said, all it did was confuse people, because I'm like, you know, if looking at his profile, it was like, okay, am I buying insurance or a tree from you? I'm just really confused here.
Right. Who are you? Who's your mm-hmm. audience? And some people think, well, my audience, both of my audiences are on LinkedIn and they're 50-50. Well, okay, if that's what you want to do, that's your preference. But mm-hmm. I'm just telling you the way that this is, you know, online, the way that it works is you will confuse people. Mm-hmm. So you're only going to get 50. What if you're writing articles on your landscaping business and they're showing up in your insurance customers' news feeds. Mm-hmm. How confused are they? Does this right. guy, he's not doing insurance mm-hmm. anymore. He's doing landscaping. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so confusing. Mm-hmm. I did have a client who is a serial entrepreneur. He starts a lot of businesses. And we had a conversation about this. He's launching this new business and he doesn't need to be the face of the new business. Mm-hmm. The old business he has to be the face of, and he doesn't want to confuse his customers, his current customers, all of, you know, his major bread right now mm-hmm. by letting them think that he's starting a new company and leaving them all in the dust. They find right. out on social media, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what he and I talked about was, and both of his targets are not on Facebook, they're on LinkedIn. So we mm-hmm. talked about, is there anyone else that we could build a profile? Does your wife, is she a part of the company? Mm-hmm. You know, oh right. no, I have a business partner.
Ah,
okay, great. Well, mm-hmm. then your business partner can be the face of that business and mm-hmm. you stay the face of this business. We can put it under the experience. Mm-hmm. That's not a big deal, but we certainly don't want all of your clients to find out on LinkedIn that you no longer are doing this other business, which mm-hmm. isn't the case. He still right. was doing the business, mm-hmm. but you see where I'm going mm-hmm. is if you start promoting it, then people may think that, and we definitely don't want to lose customers because of that. Mm-hmm.
Right. You and people are reading all of that, you know, and so, you know, as we said, you know, you need to make sure that it's clear. One of the other things, and you know, I'm just going to touch on this very briefly, that you talk about in your book is education. You know, what if you went to, you know, we're all thinking, well, I went to school for this, but now I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. But it's great to include the education, because that's a great networking, a great linking thing. Alumni mm-hmm. love to help other alumni. It doesn't matter. You know, my undergrad degree was social sciences. Mm-hmm. First of all, you don't do anything with that. That was one of those fluff degrees. But I still have in there that I have that degree, that I went to the University of Colorado, you know, that I went to, you know, Colorado State University, because that's a way for me to connect with people. So don't, right. you know, hey, I'm not going to put it because it didn't pertain.
Right. Let's show people different ways that we're going to have a common bond mm-hmm. with each other. And in fact, on the alumni thing, what was really fun was I went to Western Michigan University in mm-hmm. Kalamazoo, and I thought, wonder how many people in Sacramento who live in Sacramento, California now went to mm-hmm. Western Michigan University. And I mm-hmm. went and pulled up a search. There were dozens.
Wow.
And I connected with every one of them. And then you know what? I pulled up our biggest competitor, Central Michigan. I started connecting with them. Hey, right. Go Broncos. Mm-hmm. And they're Chippewas, mm-hmm. you know. They still yeah. love it, right? Mm-hmm. And who knows what business can come out of that, because mm-hmm. we already have something in common that is a very positive experience, I think, most likely.
Right.
And, you know, one guy is in insurance sales, and that happens to be a really good market for me to mm-hmm. teach LinkedIn for.
Yep.
And so you just never know. So start to expand and think about how to grow your network. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to do that is go back and pull searches, filtered searches for things like your mm-hmm. education, where you went to school.
Right. You know, I tell people, add a new connection every day. And, you know, that's only 5 a week, folks. That's not difficult. And, you know, if you've gone to a networking meeting,
yes,
you may have got 5 new business cards.
Right.
You know, all of these various things. And so just start adding to it, because, you know, the more you have, the more you're going to be able to leverage. You know, and now, should you aim for the 30,000 maximum? No. No. And I don't understand why LinkedIn even does that. I mean, you know, but that's that whole number thing. I mean, people, what, 30,000 connections? Yeah, but you don't know any of them. But, you know, add one a day, and pretty soon you're going to have a very good network.
Absolutely. And I think it's a purposeful network.
Right. Mm-hmm. Jennifer. Oh my gosh, we are at the top of the hour. I love this. I still have notes that you know, we didn't even get to cover, so that just means that we get to chat with you again. But before then, how do people find you and connect with you online?
Well, I say the best way to find and connect with me online is to connect with me on LinkedIn. So yay, my LinkedIn URL is Jennifer Darling Speaks. I'm a mm-hmm. professional speaker, so we have that speaks at the end. Mm-hmm. Plus, the lady from the Love Boat or Million Dollar Man or something also is Jennifer Darling, so she has that name.
I'm going to have to look.
I know. Yeah, the Bionic Woman, I think it is.
Oh, that's anyway, it. So
definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. And mm-hmm. I would love it if you'd send me a message when you connect and say that you heard this on Deb's show. Mm-hmm. And I would be happy if you put on their blog or something like that. I have tremendous resources there. I'll be happy to send you articles on any help that you need there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. You can go to my website and you can get a free 15-point self-assessment. If you go to my website, darlingpartners.com, mm-hmm. right on the front, you can sign up and get a free 15-point self-assessment, which will help you with your social selling index as well. And of course, you can get the book. It's on Amazon, Increase Your Leads with LinkedIn, mm-hmm. 52 Tips for Sales Success.
Perfect. I love it. Well, we really have been having a great time. And like I said, I love it when I get to learn new stuff. This was worth it just for Social Selling Index, let alone everything else. I mean, it's underlined, it's circled. I'm going to get out my highlighter pretty soon, you know, all these various things. But, you know, it really has been so much fun. And I really look forward to having you on the program again.
Thank you so much, Deb. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Great. Well, I am Deb Creer. As I said, I've been having a delightful time talking with Jennifer Darling on Valentine's Day. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us next time for more real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
You've been listening to C-Suite Radio. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.